Facing It, 1982. In December of 1982, the Portland Fellowship of Reconciliation held a symposium called Facing It. I was invited to join one of the panels and give a short talk about science fiction and how it faces the issue of nuclear war. Modern science fiction begins with H.G. Wells, and as far as I know, it is also with Wells that the apocalypse, the end of the world, becomes a subject of fiction. The stories he called his scientific romances run the apocalyptic gamut, from a cometary judgment day, followed by a very boring earthly paradise, to one of the most terribly beautiful nightmares of all fiction, the beach at the end of the world, at the end of the time machine. That great vision is the end as seen by science. Entropy, the cold, dark chaos that is the target of time's arrow. Usually, since Wells, the speculative storyteller, has chosen a livelier finale. The sun goes nova, or aliens invade, or we perish from overpopulation or pollution or plague, or we mutate into higher forms or whatever. Round about 1945, a specific kind of apocalypse, not surprisingly, became common in science fiction. The after the bomb, or post-Holocaust story. In the typical after-the-bomb story, the characters are survivors of what is typically referred to as the 5-Minute War. Some of the options offered these survivors are 1. Not to survive at all. The characters all kill each other off in the shelters and the ruins. Or, more tidily, as in On the Beach, they commit suicide. 2. To survive by killing and dominating other survivors who happen not to be social Darwinists. 3. To survive by digging in and hanging on and battling mutant monsters with strange powers in the ruins of Chicago. 4. To survive by being mutants, often living a pleasant rural life far from the ruins of Chicago. Kind of like Grandma Moses with telepathy. 5. To survive by leaving the Earth and getting away just in time in a spaceship. These characters may sit by a canal on Mars and watch the rest of us go incandescent, or dwell for generations in their spaceship, or colonize other planets. They certainly have the best options. Many, many stories using these or similar scenarios were written and published between the late 40s and the present. I wrote some myself in the early 60s. Most of them were trivial, inadequate to their terrible subject. Some, like Walter Miller's A Canticle for Leibowitz, remain rich and durable works of imagination. The radioactive wasteland of glowing slag heaps populated by feral mutants, is now a commonplace, perhaps a genuine archetype, available to beginners, hacks, filmmakers, and the collective unconscious. Recently, the post-Holocaust story seems to be enjoying a revival. I should like to say thanks to President Reagan, but more honestly, perhaps as a symptom of the world mood of which the Reagan presidency and our presence here tonight are also symptoms. The post-Holocaust story must be in part rehearsal or acting out, variously motivated. One motivation is unmistakably desire. Rage, frustration, and infantile egoism play out the death wish. Let's press that button and see what happens. Another motivation is fear, the obsessive anxiety that keeps the mind upon the worst that could happen, dwelling on it, in the not entirely superstitious hope that if I talk enough about it, maybe it won't happen. Rationally controlled, this fear motivates the cautionary tale. Look what would happen if... so don't. And the stories where people flee the earth altogether would seem to be pure wish fulfillment, escapism. Very few after the bomb tales seem to have come out of South America. I wish I had time to speculate why, but a great many have come from America and England. One might propose Samuel Beckett as the prophet of the post-apocalypse. His writings are drawn towards, yearn towards, the condition of utter silence. European science fiction writers have done their share, but across the Iron Curtain, writers seem not to write about World War III. It may be the government demanding optimism, censoring speculation. Or perhaps those Russian and Polish science fiction writers who are not timid yes-men and often use their art to say quite subversive and unacceptable things, feel it ethically wrong to write about nuclear holocaust, because by doing so, they would trivialize and familiarize the ultimate act of evil. And this is a real issue, I think. The question of the unspeakable. If one believes that words are acts, as I do, then one must hold writers responsible for what their words do. The pornography of violence, of course, far exceeds in volume and general acceptance sexual pornography in this Puritan land of ours. Exploiting the apocalypse, selling the Holocaust, is a pornography. The power fantasies of the survivalists, which seem to originate in certain works of science fiction, such as Robert Heinlein's Farnham's Freehold, are pornographic. But for the ultimate selling job on ultimate violence, one must read those works of fiction issued by our government as manuals of civil defense, in which, as a friend of mine puts it, you learn that there's nothing to be afraid of if you've stockpiled lots of dried fruit. The question is that of false reassurance. Is the writer facing it? Or, by pretending to face it, evading, lying? In many cases, it's not easy to decide. Those stories in which life goes on, even though two-headed and glowing faintly in the dark, may be seen as false reassurance or may find justification in the necessity of hope. However ill-founded, however misguided, hope is the basic stratagem of mortality. We need it. And an art that fails to offer it fails us. Still, I see much current fantasy and science fiction in full retreat from real human needs. Where a Tolkien prophetically faced the central fact of our time, our capacity to destroy ourselves, the present spate of so-called heroic fantasy, in which good defeats evil by killing it with a sword or staff or something phallic, seems to have nothing in mind beyond instant gratification. The avoidance of discomfort in a fake medieval past where technology is replaced by magic and wishful thinking works. But the science fiction books about endless wars in space, where technology is magic and the killing proceeds without moral or psychological justification of any kind, probably are written from the same unadmitted despair. The future has become uninhabitable. Such hopelessness can arise, I think, only from an inability to face the present, to live in the present, to live as a responsible being among other beings in this sacred world, here and now, which is all we have and all we need to found our hope upon.